I think a lot of people, George, and certainly me included, when I first moved over to Texas in 2001, you know, I had this image, I guess, from cowboy movies and things like that, that Texas was all just plains and cotton fields and just, you know, wide open, flat land. But for the first 2 years that I was in Texas, my wife and I lived near a large area of wood or forestland, I should say, not woodland, called the Big Thicket in South Texas. And this is literally a huge area of forest land that, you know, it quite closely parallels the sort of thing you would see in the Pacific Northwest, you know, sort of very, very large forest. And the Big Thicket has this long history, folklore and tales and legends of two things, really. One of classic Bigfoot-type creatures and the others being more, I guess, that in years past were known as wild men of the woods, sort of almost like a caveman or feral human-type being. What's interesting about the Big Thicket is that it also is home to something known as the Big Thicket Ghost Light, which is very similar to the more famous Marfa Lights of Texas. So in other words, it's a very sort of spooky, weird area. And it's from deep within the Big Thicket that we get a lot of reports of Bigfoot activity. What's interesting is that the creatures are actually slightly different to those that are reported in the Pacific Northwest, sort of, you know, Seattle, Washington State, which are very much, I guess, sort of 7 foot, 8 foot tall, very barrel-chested, huge creatures. The ones in Texas actually often described as slightly smaller, sort of around about 6 feet, kind of slimmer and thinner and more athletic-looking rather than big and bulky. And very sort of fast-moving in some cases. There are a number of reports of these creatures going back to probably about 1840, 1850 from the Big Thicket area. So in other words, it has a long and rich history. But there are other reports also throughout Texas. We have a whole chapter in the book on one or two creatures, actually, that became known as the Wild Man and the Wild Woman of the Navidad, Navidad being an area of Texas, in the southern part of Texas. And this involves a sighting of two creatures on a regular basis for a number of years in the 19th century, and they became known as the Wild Man and the Wild Woman because one of the creature's tracks were large and one was smaller, so it was presumed possibly that one was a male and one was a female. And these, unlike the ones in the Big Thicket, were actually described as, I guess, almost like a primitive or proto-human in the sense that they looked human but were covered in coarse hair, and one of them had like a crudely fashioned club, you know, presumably to kill prey, etc., that it looked like it had been broken up from a tree branch and they'd try to fashion it into some sort of weapon. So in other words, these seemed more human-like but certainly primitive. So it seems to be the case that we've had several things and possibly still do have several things going on. And when I say things still going on, reports continue to surface to this day. We actually added kind of a last-minute story to the book where there was an incident down in San Antonio in the latter part of 2009 where two people had seen this large Bigfoot-type creature in forest land near San Antonio, reportedly with like a small deer under its arm. You know, so, you know, whatever's going on or has been going on, it's still taking place.
Those are great stories. I mean, this must have kept you and Ken on the edge of your chairs while you were writing this book.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think one of the interesting things is finding that, you know, this isn't just something that's been going on since, you know, people have been talking about Bigfoot. You can go back and find countless reports 100, 120 years ago before people had even created the name Bigfoot. And that applies to some of the other creatures as well. And, of course, there was the fact that as we were writing it, one of the good things was that new reports were continuing to come through so we could demonstrate that whatever was here then is here now as well. So it's very much like a detective game going back in time, but also ensuring that we were, you know, on the ball, so to speak, with regular and modern-day reports as well.
Texas has had a history of encounters with werewolves. Mm. What did you uncover?
Well, this is one of my sort of particular pet interests, I suppose. Not that I'd want a werewolf as a pet, probably.
pet it would be, Nick, huh?
Well, that's true. That's true. The werewolves are one of the, I guess, the creatures that we include in the book that, whereas some of these, like the Texas Chupacabra and the Bigfoot reports, I'm convinced are flesh and blood animals. A lot of the werewolf reports seem to have paranormal overtones to them. One of the things that a lot of the witnesses have said is that when they've encountered these creatures, which are very much described as man-like in appearance with hair-covered bodies, but with a face that largely resembles something like a German shepherd, in other words, a muzzle and pointed ears, but the body is human-like. But many of the witnesses have said that when they've encountered the things, they haven't just felt frightened because this weird creature's in front of them. They felt that the creature was actually able to, I guess, create fear within the witness, and they actually felt that the creature was then sort of feeding on the high state of emotion, almost as one described it, like an emotional vampire, you know, not feeding on blood, but feeding on high states of human terror and fear. And many of the reports in Texas are associated with things like Native American burial mounds, old graveyards. I investigated one report where at the scene of the incident where a cow was actually slain by this creature, reportedly, the rancher went out the next day, and he found this strange carved head in the field, which looked like an ancient piece of rock with eyes and a mouth and fangs, which are actually, I've reproduced a photograph of this carved head in the book, and he found it at the exact site where the cow was killed, and he felt that possibly that somebody had been involved in some sort of ancient rite and ritual and had conjured this creature up.